2 Kings chapter number 4, we'll begin our reading in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went in from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Before I give you my title, there's a story that I heard some years back of a lady that come into a service, and the pastor got up on the podium and began to try to take up an offering. And I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it happen like this before. He took the offering up and he didn't get the amount that he wanted thought that he should have got, and for whatever the need was, so he took it up again. And he passed the plate, and once again, it didn't come up to the amount that he thought it needed to be. So he passed it again. And about that time, a little old lady sitting somewhere got up, and she hobbled up to the front with her purse, and she just took her purse and turned it upside down and began to shake it and said, Take it all! You know, sometimes I feel like that it may be like that in the services. But with that in mind, I'd like to preach on a title, what I'm calling, Give It All. Give It All. My scripture text today is in verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything, save a pot of oil. Save a pot of oil. This message, the Lord laid it on my heart about a week ago, I guess, a little over a week ago, and I preached it there at the home church, but I really felt before I preached it that I might have an opportunity to preach here. I didn't know, but if I did, this is what I had in mind. And some of the preachers have already touched all over my message, and I really debated whether just to grab something else, but I just couldn't get anything settled in my heart. And so if you would just help me preach a little while, I'm not a preacher unless the Holy Ghost gets a hold of me and helps me. And but I'd like to preach on what I'm calling Give It All. This story here is a very familiar passage of Scripture to you Bible readers, to you preachers. Preached from it numerous times. There's a lot of messages that we could pull out of these Scriptures. A lot of things that we could learn by this story here, this widow woman. And what a miracle that took place in this case. We see the prophet Elisha, and coming to this widow woman and asking her what she has in the house. And we see her response saying, I have not anything. But there's a comma there, and she says, save a pot of oil. Such a small thing, as Brother Brandon already preached to us about the cake there. And such a small thing, just a pot of oil. And just a small thing there, but she had that, didn't she? She had a pot of oil. Praise God. You know, I'll get on into this message here in a minute, but I believe that God requires everything that we have as people. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe if you hold anything back, then God will not bless you to the abundance that He would like to bless you. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe it takes a complete and wholly surrendered life, a complete submissive life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's pouring out everything before Him, holding nothing back in return. Praise the Lord. The story here we see in these first verse is here, chapter or verse 1, the stress that motivated her. This woman, you can imagine the stress that she was feeling because of the situation she was in. You can imagine how stressed she must have felt. She begins to tell the prophet there that her husband had already died, and now the creditors come to take her sons away to be bondmen, to be slaves, if you will. And you can imagine that mother, how she must have felt, having lost her husband, that helpmeet, having lost the breadwinner in her home, and now the creditors come to take her only two sons, the only thing that she has left. Amen. And we see by the response that she gives, she feels like that everything that is worth anything in her life has dissipated. Amen. We see that she feels like she has nothing left at all. Amen. They took her husband away. Now they're taking her sons. She is in a stressed out condition. Amen. You know, I'm not really a stressful person until it comes my turn to preach. Hey. I'm not really a person that stresses a lot. My wife does enough for both of us. Amen. You know, and that's the way it happens a lot of the times. I see men talking, their wives stress a lot about making ends meet or whatever needs to take place. They stress about conditions. And I can just see really this woman in her situation, how she was and the stress that she must have really felt. Amen. You know, stress causes a lot of things to happen. Stress causes normal people to respond in crazy ways. Stress is the leading cause of heart attacks, for one. Amen. But stress causes people to respond in ways completely different from their normal activity, from their normal characteristics, or even their character. Amen. When a person gets bound and strapped in debt, and the creditors knocking on their door, and people, the collectors are calling their phone and asking for bills to be paid. Amen. People go out, and I've never done this, but for the sake of an illustration, people call or go to a bank there in their local neighborhood and make loans that they know they can never pay back because they are feeling stress in their life. Amen. They take drastic measures, things that they normally would never have done. They do because of the stress that they are feeling. Amen. This woman here is one of the wives of the prophets. History records and says that she was probably the wife of Obadiah. Amen. She knew about the things of God. Amen. She was feeling stress. If she would have had money, I'm sure she would have went to the bank. Amen. But she didn't have any money. She went to the man of God. You know, as I've said, stress causes people to do crazy things, normal folks. But this woman, I think that it's great how she responded to the stress that was in her life. She went to the man of God. You know, I haven't been pastoring but for about 9 months, and a great friend of mine, I've talked to him several times. He's a pastor there in Texas. And I talked to him, and I asked him, you know, the Lord really seemed to bless him. And I called him. I said, "What's your secret? What have you done?" He said, "Brother, I don't have no secret." And I knew he didn't. But he said, "You just fast and pray. And when you get done with that, fast and pray. And when you get done with that, fast and pray some more." Amen. But he said, 90% of the people that I've won, it's been because of hardships and problems have struck their life and difficulty has come their way. And so they turn to the man of God and to the house of God because they didn't know how to fix their problem. Amen. Like I said, I haven't been pastoring but for about 9 months, and I've seen that to be exactly the case. People call your phone because they feel that they have no other option. They've extinguished every other measure that they can go to. Amen. They have nowhere else to go. They have nowhere else to turn. Amen. Their problem have left them stressed out. They have nobody else to talk to. They don't have any credit at the bank, no friends to talk to. So they call the house of God. Amen. You know, I realize that people come to the house of God when they have problems, and we see it many times. As soon as that fear is over with, that they turn around and go the other direction. We see that many times. I've seen that in a short time that I've been pastoring. But if that's what it takes to turn people to the house of God, I say let it happen. Hey, man, I done figured out that, you know what, there's nothing that I can do to bring them in. It's going to take the mighty hand of God. And I think that this woman responded in a great way by realizing that it's going to take God to take care of my problem. Amen. So she responds to her stress. It motivates her. You know, they say stress is a motivator. You ever heard that? They say that stress is a motivator. It motivated her to go to the man of God. You know, I believe a lot of times it's the hand of God that allows problems. It allows stresses on us as men of God to come our way that we'll see our need for God's help. Amen. He lets stress, he lets problems come and afflict us, not to hurt us, no. Amen. But to see that we need God's help every day, every hour, every minute of our life. Amen. I wouldn't want to stand up here before you without God's help. No. Amen. If it takes stress, if it takes problems, amen, to let me know I need God's help, I say, let it come. Amen. Praise the Lord. She did the right thing. She turned to the man of God. Not only the stress that motivated her, but we see also in verse 2 the poverty that limited her. What shall I do for thee? Elisha said. What hast thou in the house? What hast thou in the house? He turned her attention on what she did have. And you see how she responds. She says, I don't have anything save a pot of oil. Save a pot of oil. He brought her attention to what she did have. You know, I've seen it in the lives of a lot of people just in my short time of preaching and being in the ministry. You know, people like to focus upon problems and things that they don't have rather than the abilities and things that they do have. Amen. You know, people like, you know, I believe it's the devil that magnifies problems and magnifies people's shortcomings and things that they can't do or things that they haven't accomplished in life. The devil would like for that to be magnified in your life, that you'll say, amen, I don't have the ability to do that. Amen, I don't have the qualifications to do that. Amen, so people began to set back and they do nothing. Amen, you know what I heard one fella said? Amen, if you do nothing, you'll get carried away. Just like a small boat out on a sea there, when the tide begins to come in, you give him a small boat, you give him a paddle, and if he don't row, what happens? Amen, he gets carried away. That's exactly the way it happens in life. Amen, if God gives you something to do, no matter how small or how large it is, I believe he expects you to use it. Amen. This poverty limited her, and she didn't have much, but she had a pot of oil. Hallelujah. You know, I would like somebody right here this morning in the church to take their eyes off the problems, to take their eyes off the things that they don't have. You know, we've got a small church there at Community, and the Lord's been helping us, and we've seen some people saved. I've seen so many times folks set back because they feel like maybe that they are aged and not able to do what they at one time were capable of doing. Amen. Some of the greatest testimonies that I've heard, some of the brothers have already said, but God being my witness, this was already in my mind. Amen. I've seen some of the greatest testimonies come from old saints of God stand up there at Community Calvary Holiness Church and say just a simple testimony of what God done for them and the Holy Ghost fall. Hallelujah. Amen. It may not be nothing but a testimony, but I believe that anointed testimony is everything. In this story right here, I see this woman when she responds, I have nothing but a pot of oil. Amen. Listen to me right here. She said, I have nothing but an anointing. Hallelujah. Hey, you may get that on the way home. Amen. I have nothing but an anointing. You know, if that's all I had, that'd be all I wanted. Hallelujah. I told my wife, I said, you know, the Lord's blessed me with the ability to play a few different instruments. And I told her I'd lay every one of them down if I could just stand behind the pulpit and the Holy Ghost help me to preach. Amen. I tell you what, it nothing matters to me, your capabilities. If you can stand up, amen, if you can't do anything, if you can't play a tambourine, amen, if you can't clap your hands on beat, but you can stand up and the Holy Ghost anoint you to preach or anoint you to testify, I'm telling you, there ain't much else matters to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I think that's what we're lacking more than anything. I realize I'm 27 years old. I don't want to overstep any bounds. But I believe that's what we are lacking more than anything is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I was taught coming up as a boy, my daddy teaching me how to play music. He taught me, hey man, you need to respond to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost goes to moving, and I don't have this in my notes, but let me just take a minute to say, amen, those of you that the Lord has blessed you to play music, when the Spirit of God gets to moving, get off of them drums, get off of that piano. I'll tell you what, somebody else will grab a hold of it. You get out where the Holy Ghost is moving. Amen. That is what we need in this day and hour, is a move of the Spirit of God. Amen. I ain't worried about who can play the drums the best, or who can sing the fastest, or who can sing and play the loudest. Amen. What I'm concerned about is a move of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She was limited on what she can do, but she had a pot of oil. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got a pot of oil, I believe the Lord expects you to give it. Hallelujah. I got a little more preaching to do. I believe greatness is determined by what you do with what you have. That's how greatness is determined. Not by what abilities you have, how many things you can do, but what you do with what you have. You know, my son, he's sitting here on the front row. He'll soon be 8 this month. He wants to play everything. And I'm not against children wanting to learn how to do things. And I've been trying to talk him into learning how to play the drums. And our church doesn't have a set of drums at this point. And I'll try to talk him into doing that, and told him I'd buy him a set if he'd learn how to play. Well, we went to the music store to look at a set of drums, and he found a fiddle. That's the last thing I want to hear him practicing on. Hallelujah. He found him a fiddle. Mom, I want a fiddle, he said. I said, boy, you ain't getting no fiddle. You need to learn how to play them drums. So we got to the house, and me and my wife began to show him a few little things on the piano. And I'll move on here in a minute. But we began to show him a few things on the piano, and man, he picked up so fast, so quick. And those that are from our church there will tell you, it's just amazing how fast he's just picking up on things. You know, and I wish my dad would have done me this way coming up. Said, son, don't be worried about all them, knowing how to play all them things. Just get good at one or two things. Just get good at something. You know, don't worry about knowing how to play everything on the stage. Just get good at what you know how to do. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I believe that's a message in itself. Hey, man, so many people are worried and wanting to outdo the next guy. You know, I realize my paper's getting graded right here this morning. But my concern is not how much I tickle your ears, friend. Hey, man, my concern is how much I can stand up here in this pulpit and give you what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey man, there's a lot of different things that we can do. The world's got a lot of things to offer. Hey man, but if we could just show them how to get anointed. Hallelujah. If we could just show them how to get a hold of the Holy Ghost. Hey man, I got 2 children coming up, one seeking a baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing more I'd like to see in this camp meeting than him to get up here around the front of these altars and the Holy Ghost move on him. Hallelujah. Thank God I ain't worried about him knowing how to do everything there is to do, as long as he knows how to pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Me and my wife, we decided here a while back that we was going to have a set family prayer time. Get our kids together. And I've got a 2-year-old girl. She'll be 3 in September. And she don't do much praying. But we decided we was going to get them together and try to teach them the things of God. And you know, we haven't been married that long. And I don't know about you, brethren, but I'm a backward guy. That's just the way I am. I'm a backward fella. It's always been hard for me to pray out loud in front of my wife. Sorry. It's been hard for me to do that. And she'll tell you the same exact thing. You know, it's hard to do that. Hey, man, but I've learned there's some things we got to overcome if we want a spiritual household. Hey, man, if we want a home that is bound together with the cords of love, hey, man, and has the Spirit of God moving in. I tell you what, I'm going to put my feelings to the side. Hey, man, I'm going to put my concerns to the side. Hey, man, and have a move of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I may not be good at what I do. Hallelujah, but I'm going to give it the best I got. Praise the Lord. This woman said, I have nothing save a pot of oil. She had everything she needed. Praise God. She could have pointed to all the things that she didn't have, but the things she needed was right there all the time. Hallelujah. Was right there all the time. You know, I haven't seen some of the healings and some of the moves of God in my few years that I've heard about. I've heard some great stories, grandma and grandpa talking. My aunts and uncles been healed instantly under the power of the Holy Ghost, just completely healed instantaneously. I believe that that is still able to happen. I haven't seen that in my day and time. But I believe, just like these brothers have said, we need to take those old things off the wall. Hey, man, those old weapons that we used to use. Hey, man, I know that there are new ways. I can't compete with the knowledge of these new preachers. Hey, man, I don't have the ability to stand up here and preach to you. Hey, man, with just awesome words and tickle your ears. Hey, man, but I realize we need more than that. Hey, man, if we're going to have Holy Ghost-filled church service, hey, man, if we're going to have the moves of God that we've seen or we heard about back in grandma's days, then we're going to have to do exactly what grandma and grandpa did. Amen. That's get down on our prayer bone somewhere. Amen. Find us a place to seek the Lord and get the Holy Ghost moving. Praise the Lord. Not only the stress that's motivated her and the poverty that limited her, but we also see the obedience which sustained her. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels. Skipping on down, verse 5, and she poured out. Hallelujah. Amen. The obedience which sustained her. You know, disobedience is a major thing. You know, we take that so lightly sometimes, or I feel like people do. You know, I was taught that disobedience is quenching the Spirit of God. That's the way I was taught. I was taught that disobedience was disobeying the Holy Ghost. Hey, man, that's the way I was brought up. Hey, man, you know, disobedience dulls the conscience. Hey, man, it darkens the soul, and it deadens our spiritual energies. Hey, man, that's what disobedience does. Hey, man, you keep on disobeying the Lord. You keep on rejecting God. Hey, man, and you're going to be dead spiritually after a while, my friend. Hey, man, you may look at it as a small thing, but I believe it is something great in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, man, we see back in the life of Saul when he was going to battle and he didn't do what the Lord said do. He didn't call for the man of God to make the sacrifice. He done it on his own. Hey, man, and we see the scripture that is known so well, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And the word of God records that obedience is a major thing. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Obedience. Hallelujah. You can imagine the thoughts that were going through this widow's mind as she went in there after the man of God told her to get the oil. This is the only thing she had now. This is all she had. One pot of oil. And she got that pot of oil under the obedience of the man of God, and she began to pour it out. This is the only oil she had, the only thing of any value. The creditor was coming, as I've told you, to take her sons away. Nothing else was of any value, or I feel like she'd have mentioned it right here in the scripture. Amen. She said, I have nothing save a pot of oil, and now she's fixing to dump it out You can imagine how she felt. Amen. Everything has been gone. Everything has been taken away from her. Amen. Everything has been taken from her. But she obeys the man of God. Amen. And pours out the last little bit of oil that she has left. Amen. If I could just tell you right here in my little sermon this morning. Amen. You may not have a lot to offer. But I tell you what, if you'll obey the men of God that have preached right here this week already. Amen. You know, I was taught as a child when the Spirit of God got to moving. Amen. All the young people, automatically, we didn't have to be told. We got around and began to gather around the sides of the church. And we began to stand up around the front pews. Amen. What were we saying? We didn't have a lot to offer. We were just children. But we wanted to be obedient when the Spirit of God moved. Hallelujah. I tell you what. I've seen some of the greatest moves of God as a child because of obedience. Hallelujah. I believe He expects to give it what you got. Amen. Praise God. We got to realize the importance of obedience. Amen. We wonder why services don't go where they ought to. Amen. We pump and prime and poke and try to get things to get going, and we're accused of trying to stir something up. Amen. When really we're just trying to get somebody to obey the Lord. Hallelujah. I realize sometimes the preacher's got it, but sometimes it's a little old saint of God sitting over here in the corner. Amen. It just needs to get up and say, I thank God for what He done for me. Hallelujah. I believe sometimes God pours a little bit of oil in the little vessels every now and then, and He expects you to use it. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Praise the Lord. Look in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 real quick. Amen. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. You know, there's nothing really more disturbing as a child to get a pack of Doritos. Amen. You think it's this big, but there ain't but about that much in the bottom of it. Amen. You know what? If I could turn that around spiritually, I believe that's the way the Lord hands things back to us. Only after it's been shaken together, He keeps on filling it up. Hallelujah. Amen. It may just be a little bit when we give it. Amen. But when it is returned to us, it is pressed down, shaking together and running over. Amen. You want to see a move of God like Grandma and Grandpa did? Amen. Give it what you got. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord.